Of course, we've been going through Luke's story of the birth of the Savior. And tonight we'll close by reading Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. If you have a Bible, you're welcome to follow along with me as we read these and then share a few thoughts with you about these verses together tonight. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all of these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just had been told them. Let's pray together. Father, we bless you for this night and this time of remembering and this time of celebrating the birth of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you held back nothing in your plan and work of salvation, but you gave the very best gift you had, and he gave his all that we might know you again and find salvation. Father, help us to understand that this is the true meaning of Christmas. This is why your Son has come. Help us to see that with fresh eyes tonight as we look at this story one more time. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So, we followed along through the first chapter of Luke and now into the second chapter and seeing the birth of the Savior. Tonight, we're going to talk about angels and shepherds. We've already seen the ministry of angels and the ministry of Gabriel and how this whole thing started with Gabriel coming from God and going to Zechariah to let him know that his barren wife Elizabeth would be having a son who would be the forerunner of the Christ. Then we saw where Gabriel went to Mary and told her as just a young teenage girl that she had been chosen by God to bring the Messiah into the world, that the Holy Spirit would work mightily in her life, and she would bear a son, and he would be called the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We can't possibly wrap our minds around what Mary and Zechariah heard as they came to understand that thousands of years of prophecies and promises are all being fulfilled in their lives in these very moments. We've seen how the Christmas story is filled with signs and wonders and miracles. Angelic beings from another realm stepping into time and space. Miracles, gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit moving mightily among the people in this Christmas story. The whole Christmas story is filled with awe and wonder and amazement. The natural story of Christmas and Santa Claus has all of its magic. But I don't believe it compares to the real story of Christmas and all that God did in order to bring His Son into the world. This morning we saw the birth of the forerunner, John the Baptist, how Zechariah and Elizabeth had to resist tradition and the religious people of their day in order to obey God. We made the point out of that. When you and I make a decision to really believe God and follow after Him, the enemy will use people to come against us, to try to get us to compromise, to try to get us to doubt, to try to get us to disobey what God has told us to do. And just like Elizabeth and Zechariah, we must stand firm on the Word of God, regardless of what people say, not compromise our morals, our convictions, or our beliefs, but do what God has told us to do. We actually looked at verses 1 through 7 in our study this morning. And just to share with you a couple of the highlights of what we shared for there, from those verses of Scripture, Luke tells us about the people and the events of the time of the birth of the Savior that gives us a little bit of a handle on what time the Lord Jesus may have been born. And we can come up with a time of about 4 to 5 B.C. is when Jesus was born. We saw how the birth narrative is filled with symbolism. Jesus is called in the Bible, in the Gospels, the bread of life. Bethlehem actually means the house of bread. And so for Jesus to be born, it's fitting for the bread of life to be born in the house of bread. We saw how Jesus makes insignificant things significant. Whether it's Bethlehem or whether it's us. And when Jesus is born in our lives become significant. We have real meaning and real value before God. We saw how the no room in the inn passage prefigures the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ by His own people and even by the world ever since. And we saw how the birth of Jesus in the midst of, whether it's a cave or a barn or whatever your imagination tells you it was the place where the animals were taken care of. And so we can imagine, if you've ever been into a barn, you can imagine the stink and the filth and all that would be in that place. And all of that pictures for us. It pictures the darkness and the stench of this world that is held captive to sin. And into that darkness, the light of the world came. Verses 8 through 20 that we read here tonight, and we'll finish by talking about these verses tonight. We see the first again of the angels. Initially just one who comes to announce to the shepherds. The lowliest of class of people in that day. And it's to them that God sends an angel to announce to them that the Savior is born. He shows them where to go and how to find it. The angels would even say, "We have great news, which will be for all the people." Surely if He has sent messengers to the shepherds, the lowliest of all, then all people are included in the good news of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter whether they are the lowest class or the highest class. Doesn't matter whether they are Jews or Gentiles. And of course we remember that Luke, the author, the writer of this book, he himself is a Gentile. It would be good news to Luke that this good news is for all people. Male, female, young, old, it doesn't matter. The good news of Jesus Christ is for all. The angels tell the shepherd where the child is born, where to look, how to find him. Cloths are mentioned again in, I read it here somewhere. Verse 12. We had seen it back in verse 7 about the cloths that were wrapped around Jesus. It's mentioned again in verse 12. That's going to be significant. I'll share something about that with you in just a few moments. But this was a sign to the shepherds that they had found the right person. In verses 13 and 14, there's a multitude now of the heavenly angels. And notice, and we pointed this out to you recently in the study, it tells us in verse 13 that there is a multitude of angels and the heavenly host praising God and saying. They are saying something, but they're saying it in song as they sing their praises to the Lord that night. A tradition among Jewish families back in Jesus' day was that when a child was born, and as we shared with you this morning, it was particularly significant in that culture and in that day if the child was a boy, if the first child was a boy. But at any rate, when a child was born, the community came together to celebrate. And with the birth of the child, the community would gather together and they would dance and they would sing and they would celebrate the birth of the child. Now Mary and Joseph are away from their own community, but they're not away from God's community. And on this night, God himself provides the minstrels to sing and to celebrate the birth of his son. Job tells us that the angels were present and singing at the dawn of the first creation. Imagine that. In Genesis, as God begins to speak, and the Holy Spirit begins to move, and creation begins to happen, Job says the angels were there as witnesses and sang in rejoicing to what God was doing. And now the angels are singing again at the dawn of the new creation. Beginning with the Lord Jesus Christ, all things now will be made new, finally being complete when Jesus comes again. The process includes every one of us. Every time someone comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that person becomes a new creation, a new creature. God is making all things new. And just as the angels sang at the dawn of the old creation, now they are singing at the dawn of the new creation. Their message is peace on earth. Peace on earth. The peace that these angels are talking about is not the cessation of strife or violence or all of these kinds of things. That day will come when Jesus comes again. But the peace that the angels are talking about on this night is a peace that man has in his own heart when he's come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and made his peace with God. And brother and sister, once we've made our peace with God over the sins of our lives, we can be at peace no matter what the circumstances of life might be, because we know God holds it all and God holds us as well. I'm going to, early in the new year, I want to do a teaching, probably wind up to be a series, on how to have real peace. How to have real peace. But I'll just give you a clue. The angels tell us in this passage of scripture. Verse 14, it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men. Look at what they just said. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men. Did you see the relationship there? When we are giving glory to God in the highest, we'll find peace on earth. When we focus on spiritual things, God will move in the natural things, and God will give us peace. Now to the shepherds. There is a scholar and theologian from the 19th century that I want to share some information with you about tonight. He has some insights. This is a Jewish man named Alfred Edersheim. And he's a Jewish convert to Christianity who lived in the 1800s. And he was an expert on the culture of the day when Jesus lived. He knew what symbols looked like. He knew who people were. He knew how they acted and what they did. And he tells us something about these shepherds from verse 8. Let me read it for you again. It says in verse 8, in the same region. Remember where they are? They're in Bethlehem. So in the region of Bethlehem, we're told here, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. The word staying in my translation. In other translations, it says living in the fields. These were shepherds who lived in the fields. They didn't take the sheep out, bring them back home, go to bed, go out the next day and do it again. They lived in the fields with the sheep. And Alfred Edersheim tells us something special about these particular shepherds. You are no doubt aware of the sacrificial system in Israel. How that they were continually offering lambs in the temple for forgiveness of sins and all the various things that they had to sacrifice the animals in the temple for. You will remember that the animals that they sacrificed had to be perfect. They had to be flawless. They had to have no blemish, no spot, and no defect. These particular shepherds, Alfred Edersheim would tell us, are actually shepherds who worked for the Jewish temple. You see, in order for the temple to always be sure they had animals that qualified for the sacrifice, they maintained their own sheep. And they had shepherds who would take care of their sheep. And they took care of their sheep in the region of Bethlehem. And they watched over those sheep all of the time. They didn't go home and go back. They lived in the field. And so Alfred Edersheim would tell us, looking at verse 8, that the shepherds that we're talking about in this particular verse are the temple shepherds, watching over the lambs that would be sacrificed to God. They had the responsibility of when a lamb was born to examine that lamb to be sure that that lamb was flawless and qualified and suited for sacrifice. Often a little lamb, and if you've ever seen one when it's first born, it's got these four spindly little legs that it wobbles on and it tries to get up and move around and teach itself how to walk. And often what would happen is that when one of these lambs was first born, as it tries to teach itself how to walk, they would thrash around and sometimes the lamb would break a leg. Once that leg is broken, that lamb no longer qualifies for sacrifice. So what the shepherds would do is when the lamb was born, they would take that lamb and they would wrap cloths around its legs to support those legs and to protect those legs in order to keep that lamb perfect and prepared for sacrifice. So it is that the Bible tells us when Jesus was born that he was swaddled with cloths. And the shepherds in the field were called to come and to see this baby that was born. What were they doing? They were coming to examine the Lamb of God, whom God had sent into the world to be the sacrifice for sin. The sign that they had found the right child is that they found a child who had been swaddled and was lying in a manger. And so they come to witness the birth of Jesus, the Lamb of God, this swaddled lamb who would be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. Verses 15 and 16, they wasted no time. They went straight to Bethlehem. Verse 16, they came in a hurry. They found the Holy Family. And everything that the angels had said to them was true. Here's the great irony of the Christmas story. I shared with you when we first talked about shepherds a week or so ago that these were people who were often of questionable character. They lacked integrity. So much so, in fact, that the shepherd's testimony was usually invalid in a court of law. Interesting to me that these would be the ones that God would send the angels to who would be the first to testify of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 19 tells us that Mary treasured all of these things in her heart. And what she treasured, she shared. How many of you know tonight that what you treasure, you share? What's really valuable to you? What's really important to you? You like to share that with other people. What Mary treasured, she would share. Luke, if you recall when we started in the Gospel of Luke, the first couple of verses, Luke would tell us that as often as he could, in telling the story of Jesus, he always sought out eyewitnesses of the truth. And no doubt, Luke gets most of what we see in the first two chapters of the book of Luke. Luke gets it from Mary herself. Because what she treasured, she shared. The shepherds told the world the good news. The light of the world had come. They received that good news. And then they shared that good news. I told you about our own family Christmas. And we've had a great time over the last month celebrating with our family. But you know what? In the midst of all of the gift giving, the sharing of love, the fellowship, the fun, and all that we do at Christmas time, if you and I forget to share the good news of the greatest gift of all, we have ultimately missed the point of Christmas. So I plead with you tonight. Have a great time with your family. Enjoy them. Share the love of God together. Give gifts, receive gifts, celebrate. But don't forget to share the greatest gift of all with all that you know. Tell them what Christmas is really all about. Every year we close our Christmas Eve service by lighting candles and sharing the light of that candle with one another. We are receiving the light, but we're also sharing the light. And this is exactly what we are supposed to do. So if you would tonight, let's light our candles. Let's share the light with our neighbors. It's symbolic of receiving the good news of Jesus and sharing it with those that we love. If you would please get your candles ready. Becky's going to sing as we light our candles tonight. And let me just remind you, for the sake of safety, if you would please, if you would tilt your unlit candle into the lit candle next to you, then hold it straight so the next person can tilt their unlit candle into your already lit candle that will help us to keep from spilling wax all over the place tonight, all right? So let's share the light of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. You going to sing from over there? Or